tuned into Quick Charge, the high voltage podcast bringing you the top stories in electric vehicles and sustainable energy daily. And it's all powered by Electrek. Welcome to Quick Charge. It's October 21st, 2024, and I'm your host, Joe Boris. We're just a few days away from Halloween, so I decided to bring back the spooky background. I hope you guys enjoy it. And there's a couple of companies that are getting in the spirit of Halloween as well. One of them is Chinese Chang'an Auto that launched a new Nevo EO7, an electric SUV that transforms into a pickup truck at the push of a button. The all-electric Transformer SUV starts at around $28,000. The retractable electric-powered trunk cover combines the best of an SUV and a pickup. With it closed, the EO7 looks like a stretched-out SUV. When the cover opens, it becomes a functional truck bed fit for larger items like bikes, camping equipment, and more. We've seen these a couple of times here in the States with the Chevy Avalanche, even the Chevy Silverado EV, so nothing new here. That said, it is cool to see this all happen as sort of an orchestrated, power-operated ballet, and it's cool that they're getting into the spirit of Halloween with a press release like this. Now, moving on from that kind of offbeat story, go to a little something more mainstream, Tesla's Cybertruck range extender, which is now being shown with a reduced range. Tesla has missed on pricing with new vehicle programs before, and inflation has been exceptionally high in the few years between the original unveiling and pricing of the Cybertruck in 2019 and its start of production last year. That's according to Fred Lambert. When it comes to specs, Tesla has generally delivered on promises, but not so with the Cybertruck. These were the original specs for the Cybertruck at launch, which you can see 7,500-pound tow rating, 3,500-pound payload, 250-plus-mile range, and a price of $39,900. Now, the tri-motor all-wheel drive is the one that's most critical here because that promised a 500-mile range and a price of $69,900. Most people reserved that 500-mile range tri-motor version for just under 70 grand. And now Tesla's tri-motor Cybertruck starts at $100,000 and gets just 320 miles of range. To help Cybertruck owners get to that originally promised range, Tesla announced a range extender, which consists of an additional battery pack that sits in the truck's bed, taking up about a third of the bed space. Originally, Tesla said that it would increase the range of the dual-motor Cybertruck from 340 to over 470 miles and the Cyberbeast from 320 to 440. However, Tesla has updated its range extender specs. The company now says that the range extender should result in, quote, 445-plus miles rather than 470 for the dual-motor, a 25-mile reduction in range. Interestingly, the range extender's impact on the tri-motor Cybertruck's range hasn't changed on the standard wheels and tires, but it's down to 415-plus miles on the all-terrain wheels. The other big news today comes from Ford that updated its Mach-E Mustang. The 2025 model dropped today with a heat pump, a smaller frunk, and a $36,000 price tag. Our fearless leader, Seth Weintraub, was there at the introduction, and he wrote that the biggest downgrade here is that the Mach-E now has a heat pump instead of resistance heating. Depending on how well this is integrated into the vehicle's heating and cooling systems, including batteries and passenger cabin, it should really help the vehicle's range, especially in extreme temperature climates. Range wasn't yet available on the 2025s, but don't expect a huge EPA bump just like last year. Unfortunately, the heat pump system couldn't be packaged under the existing Mach-E bonnet without taking up some of the frunk space. You'll recall that Ford did take some pride in creating a 4.8-gallon trunk that could also be drained, allowing for tailgating and other options. You can see here that little cup holdery looking thing does take up some of that space, and it is significantly shallower. That said, if it's going to get you more range and be more efficient in heating and cooling, that's just better for everyone involved. But the biggest experiential change is moving the gear shifter from the center console to the steering column. This frees up significant space in the console and gets rid of that polarizing dial-a-gear system that the original Mustang Mach-E had. Now, I want to agree with Seth here when he says that this is the biggest difference. Of course, it's the biggest difference. But I also think this is a downgrade for the Mustang. One of the things that made the Mustang feel more like a Mustang and less like a minivan or less like a crossover was that center tunnel that made you feel like you were in a car, albeit a high riding one. Now that you've moved that to the center console, the experience is going to be much more minivan crossover, and I'm not sure it's going to do much to win over the Mustang faithful. But then again, they didn't like the fact that it was electric anyway, and they certainly didn't like the fact that this was one of the fastest Mustangs you could buy. And while we're on the topic of Ford, Ford is replacing some of the Tesla adapters it's sent to its EV owners. Ford F-150 Lightning and Mach-E drivers may have to wait a little longer to plug into Tesla's supercharger network. After several had already received their NACS adapters, Ford emailed many to say that it was replacing the unit. In the meantime, the company doesn't recommend using the current one. That's pretty self-explanatory. We're going to leave it there. And while we're on the topic of things that are pretty self-explanatory, we've got an election coming up in about 15 days. And if you're one of those EV owners who's concerned about people getting the chance to vote, EV owners can now volunteer to drive voters to the polls in 11 states. Jamie Dow writes, the U.S. election is coming up soon with early and mail-in voting already open in several states. But for people who don't have transportation to get to polling places, help might come in the form of a ride from an electric vehicle. And if you live in one of these 11 states, you can volunteer to help. Jamie writes that giving people rides to the polls is nothing new in America. There are a lot of people with disabilities who can't afford transportation, voting precincts that are spread out and difficult to get to a polling place in, etc. And giving voters rides to the polls can help to increase participation of groups that are underserved in our electoral process. Mail-in ballots and early voting also help to alleviate these issues and increase participation. But after their successful application to increase participation in the 2020 election, some states have rolled back their offerings in those respects, leading to difficulties for some voters. And so, with EVs in the focus this election, EV advocacy group EV Hybrid Noir decided to give voters in 11 states a chance to experience an EV and also drive more voter participation at the same time. It comes in the form of a new effort over at chargethevote.org, which is accepting EV-owning volunteers to drive voters to their polling place, and also accepting signups to request a ride to the polls. If you're interested in either, you can sign up here, as long as you're in one of these 11 states: Arizona, Florida, Georgia, Kentucky, Michigan, Nevada, North Carolina, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Texas, or Wisconsin. We'll have a link to that in the show notes. Obviously, we want to make sure everybody gets out and votes. We're not going to tell you who to vote for, although if you're voting for that fat orange idiot, you deserve all kinds of horrible things, and man, I just do not like you. Moving on from there, we like to close off these segments with talk about the environment, talk about sustainability. Today is going to be a little bit different. We're now talking about EU citizens who can sue over health problems caused by missed emission targets. According to the latest estimates from the World Health Organization, nearly 300,000 people die each year globally from respiratory illness caused by poor air quality, with millions more falling ill. Now, EU citizens might be able to claim compensation for health problems caused by their country's failure to comply with pollution limits. In Spain alone, more than 21,000 people are said to have died from similar causes in 2023 alone, with suspended diesel particulate matter being called out as the specific culprit. In an effort to trim those heavy losses, new legislation has been put into effect that sets new, more stringent emission limits. These annual policy limits reportedly must be met by 2030, but they're not the real innovation of this new policy. That is, if the EU member nation fails to meet those emission goals and its residents get sick, they'll be able to claim damages and be compensated if their health is damaged by noncompliance. In addition to that compensation, the EU has been given authority to impose multi-million euro fines on countries for not complying with this regulation. This latest round of emissions regulations aim to achieve zero emissions by 2050, and if met, the EU believes they will significantly reduce the hundreds of thousands of deaths that occur each year due to pollution and respiratory illness. You love to see it. Got to support everything we can do to reduce the harmful effects of carbon emissions on the climate. That's all I've got for today, October 21st. Happy Halloween. Get out and vote, and be sure to like and subscribe so you don't miss any more of my political rantings and ravings.